Thank you. We give you glory this morning. I love that you use all of us. We're all just hot messes all the time. But you're so darn good that you love us and you gave your son for us and you pour out your spirit in us and you fill us with fresh mercies every single day, even though we blow it every single day. And in our imperfection, you show yourself perfect by loving us still. And we're grateful for it. So we give you glory today as we talk about what you can do that our minds can't even conceive. Thank you, Jesus. So you've read the book called Matthew. In fact, maybe some of you have named your sons Matthew. Raise your hand if you're a Matthew. Hey! We got one in the house. Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Go. Now, I'm going to go a few pages on over to that fine book of Acts. And I'm looking at chapter 1, verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." There's a theme, a thread here between Matthew 28 and this. What is it? Can you sum it up in one word? Starts with a G and ends with an O. Go. Yeah. Now, he says Jerusalem, which would be his hometown. Judea, the surrounding regions. Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So starting where you live and going out from there. Go. We have a commission, and it's really great. In fact, you know, it's called the Great Commission. To go and make disciples. So, when you see the dudes, our good buddies in the Bible, the disciples of Jesus, the apostles, they tarried in, and they waited, and the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. And they were filled with fire. And then they went out, speaking in new tongues. And they didn't just stop in Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria or the ends of the earth. They went places, just like y'all have been places. I found this interesting, and I'll read it. We don't often talk about what happened to the apostles after the dispersion, after the church just kind of blew up and exploded and everything was going awesome, blew up in a good way, exploded in a good way, not in a bad way. There was no shrapnel. After Pentecost, speaking of Andrew here, many traditions point to Andrew, Peter's brother, as the apostle to the Greeks. It's believed that he preached to the Greek communities and was martyred in Patras, on a cross in the shape of an X. And his remains were supposedly transferred over to Italy. Interesting. Okay. He left Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and he preached to the Greeks. James. He was supposedly the first apostle to be martyred. In the Acts of the Apostles, it reads, "Herod the king laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He died in 44 AD in Jerusalem, but his tomb is nowhere near that location. After his death, his body was transferred to Spain and currently located in Santiago de Compostela." Interesting. So here he is ministering in Jerusalem, killed in Jerusalem. There's a place called Santiago in Spain, and it's the end of the pilgrimage for a bunch of devout, mostly it's Catholics, that do this hike across the Pyrenees to Santiago, where you go, they do it like a soul-searching hike. But Santiago is famous because that's where the Apostle James is buried. I've been there. It's a very beautiful place. It's a building, and that's just a body. But his work is a testimony of what he did. John, the author of the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation, he was the only apostle not to have a martyr's death. In Revelation, he writes from the island of Patmos in Greece. He says, I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He died around 100 AD, and he's buried in Ephesus, or near Ephesus, which is Turkey. He went out, go into all the nations, starting with your hometown, Crowley, Bishop, Mammoth, Eastern Sierras. Philip, in the years following Pentecost, Philip ministered to Greek-speaking communities. Little is known about his adventures except that he was martyred around 80 AD. And his remains are supposedly the Basilica Santi Apostoli in Rome. St. Philip's Basilica. And there's another one there. Do you know that one? Yeah, well, we got a lot of guys in Italy. Little is known regarding the evangelization efforts of Bartholomew. Everyone called him Brother Bart. Various translations have him preaching in different areas, and it's believed that he was martyred and his remains currently located in the Church of St. Bartholomew in the island in Rome. Thomas, the doubting apostle, widely known for his ministry efforts in India. Did you know that? Yeah. He was in a hurry to go taste the curry. There's a popular story about one of his adventures that focuses on the conversion of a local doubting king. And he died around 72 AD, and his tomb is located in Mylapore, India. Interesting, huh? He went out to all the world. Matthew, one of the evangelists. Matthew is most well known for his gospel. He preached to various communities in the Mediterranean. What a tough place to be. Before his martyrdom in Ethiopia. Or they call it, when I got there in Addis Ababa, they say Ethiopia. Ethiopia. We call it Ethiopia. But they say Ethiopia. His tomb is located near the cathedral in Salerno, Italy. Interesting. So he died in Ethiopia, but they moved his body to Italy. James, the less. Remember there was two Jameses? Have you seen The Chosen? You got Big James and Little James? Yeah. Scholars believe that St. James, the less, the Little James, authored the Epistle of St. James found in the New Testament. After the apostles dispersed and left Jerusalem, James remained and became the first bishop in the holy city. He remained there for several decades until he was stoned to death by the Jewish authorities in the year of 62 AD. Some of his remains are at the Santi Apostoli in Rome. So he was in the Jerusalem part of his ministry, his hometown. Judas. No, not talking about him. Thaddeus, the forgotten apostle due to his name being so close. So Judas Thaddeus was his real name. He was known by Thaddeus. He was voted in after Judas died. Did you know that the name Judas really declined in popularity after that moment? Sure. You don't meet too many Judases these days. But Thaddeus preached the gospel in various places. He is revered by the Armenian church as the apostle to the Armenians. He suffered martyrdom around 65 AD in Beirut, Lebanon. His remains are currently at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. I don't know why they want the dead bodies. That's funny. Simon the Zealot. He's often depicted with Judas Thaddeus. We'll say Thaddeus. And some believe they preached together as a team. This is due in part because a tradition states that they were both martyred in Beirut in the same year. So interesting. So Simon the Zealot has some of his remains at St. Peter's Basilica also. Matthias. After being chosen as the replacement apostle, one tradition states that Matthias founded a church in Cappadocia and ministered to Christians on the coast of the Caspian Sea. He must be a surfer. It's believed that he died a martyr's death and was beheaded with an axe in the hands of many pagans. So these guys, they got the Great Commission and they went out. And you see, it started in the hometown, Jerusalem, Judea, the bigger region, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And some of them went out. And can you imagine that journey is done with your Lamborghinis and your Chevrolets? Or, I don't know, we're in the mountain community, so your Subarus, all-wheel drive. So they went out. Gosh, Thomas going to India. India's not known for smelling very good, just so you know. But if you're walking to India, you don't smell good too. So you're just part of the same. Like, hey, I stink. So do you. Let me tell you about Jesus, who was a Jew. So they went out and they did this mission. Here's a picture of one of, this is Paul's third missionary journey. I skipped the first, I skipped the second. This is just an illustration. Look at the travels that this guy did on a boat and with his Chevrolets. Maybe some horseback sometimes. But that, I don't know if you've been there. Has anybody been to this part of the world? It is gorgeous. It is gorgeous, right, Andy? Yep. Toddy, have you been over there? Amazing, huh? So pretty. And that's where Paul ministered. We used to say of missionaries in Hawaii from a church I grew up in, like, oh, they're suffering for the Lord in Hawaii. You know, it's ironic. It's Hawaii. How can you suffer there? But here's Paul in some of the most beautiful places with the greatest foods, cruising around talking about the greatest dude, King Jesus. So go to the next one. So I got some testimonies to share with you this morning about things that are impossible with man but possible with God. I saw a tattoo this last week on a neck, and it was Luke 1:37. Right there. Like, that's cool. What does it say? So this is interesting. Luke 1:37. Pardon me. I'll pull it up here. And I'm going to do it in two different translations because it was unique and different in both. Does anybody have the New King James? Can you read yours, Luke 1:37?
For with God nothing shall be impossible.
Amen. Does anybody have a New Living Translation? NLT. Okay. I'll pull it up then. So the New Living Translation of this passage was my first glance at it. And it says, "For the word of God will never fail." That's really cool. With God nothing is impossible. With, synonymously is the same, right? Antonyms are different. Synonyms are the same. The synonymous wording would be, "For the word of God will never fail, because with him nothing is impossible." And everything he does, he follows through with. Everything he says, he follows through with, and it never fails. And so Paul writes in Philippians that my God shall supply all of your needs by the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus, in Philippians 4:19. Okay, so now think about it. My God supplies all of your needs by the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So that actually means that my God supplies all of your needs by the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So that means everything I need is found in him. And he will never fail. Therefore, his word never fails. Therefore, with God, nothing is impossible. You catch that one? Okay. So, I had this call, a tug, a little over a decade ago. And I'm walking out of a coffee shop in Encinitas, and I have probably my favorite pair of jeans on and a new latte in my hand. And I walk out, and I'm in this waiting period of, what do you want me to do, Lord? I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. And as I walk out of this place called Java Hut, I hear him so loud and clearly. He just says, "I'm sending you to Indonesia to work with my kids." And it was so profound that I squeezed my darn latte cup and I spilled it on my favorite pants. And he showed me it's okay to surrender the things you like. Okay. You can have my pants, Lord. I kept them on. Thank you, Jesus. And so that was the start of it. You're sending me, I'll go. And I took that verse, Philippians 4:19, and I just said, if you say it and it's true, that's what I'm going to do. I don't need to worry about anything because I got Jesus, my big king. So if you're the provider, and that's what you are, then I can go near or far. I don't know, it's just happening, sorry. So I did. I spent everything I had and gave away the rest. I gave away everything I had and spent the rest. I bought a one-way ticket and I left. And I left to Indonesia with $15 in my pocket. I had $0 in my bank account. That much. I closed my credit cards, so I had no access to it. Because his word said he supplies all of our needs by the riches of his glory. So if you look at that verse, Luke 1:37, go above it. It's talking about the blessing that Mary, the mother of Jesus, her faith, where she says, let it be unto your servant, Lord. Like, you're going to be the mama of the King of Kings. Okay, I'll take it. Pretty cool. What faith that is. Right? First of all, if you have an angel visit you and tell you something like this, how many of us would freak out? We're in bed. We wake up. What? And she said, okay, let it be. The faith. And she received it. And then that verse, it says, nothing is impossible with God, is subsequent to Mary receiving, accepting what was just spoken to her. Yeah. So I took that moment, unbeknownst to me, I didn't correlate it then, was, okay, your word says it. You're sufficient for every need. I'll go. I don't need to ask people for money. I'll go. Now, I'm going to take a pause on that for a second because this is kind of funny. You guys have grown up in church. Some of you have, some of you haven't. Have you ever been in the big, like, old traditional style churches? Yeah. Some of you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I would grow up in a church with a lot of people, and they'd have missionaries that would come. And my only paradigm of missionaries at that point was old or young, and I'll show you. The old ones would stand up there and say, well, we shared the gospel, and 10 people gave their lives to Jesus, praise the Lord. And these are my old glasses here. And the stories were just, like, it's kind of entertaining, but it's really dry. It doesn't sound fun. Sad. Oh, and then there's the, like, young YWAM missionaries. Hey, I'm going overseas. Just give me some money so I can go tell them about Jesus. We're going to be doing ministry on the North Shore. I'm bringing my board just for ministry purposes so I can tell the guy in the water that cut me off, I forgive you, bro. And I'm going to send an update on my blog video log thing and say, hey, I'm almost out of money. And I got to go out to dinner tomorrow at this really cool restaurant because there's a really cute waiter that I'm sharing Jesus with, you know.
Waitress.
Okay, so those are the examples. Those are my paradigm of missionaries. Can anybody relate? I'm a terrible missionary. I didn't fit the mold of those guys. I just left. I had no money. People in the church would say, who is supporting you? I said, I got Jesus. Well, that's not wise. How are you going to provide for yourself? Just follow Jesus. Well, you need to have a financial plan. And there's a whole ministry for missionaries. I won't say the name, but it's all about you and your financial planning to go do these things that you feel God calls you to do. And for me, I was like, that's the antithesis of this journey with the Lord, because we're called to step out in faith. Don't take your money bag. Don't take an extra tunic. Just go. Because when Jesus gave that command to the 70 or 77 in Luke chapter 10, he says, go and don't take an extra money bag. Don't take a tunic. Don't even take extra sandals for your Lambrefides. Just go. And they went, and it said or Jesus asks them at the end of the chapter, he says, when I sent you out without anything, did you have any lack? And in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, he says, he asked them that, and the disciples in unison said, no, Lord, we lack nothing. That's because my God supplies all of your needs by the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And nothing's impossible with him. So they went out, and it worked. So then I thought, I'll just do that too. And it worked, which is really neat. He never fails. I might have shared this before. I wasn't planning on sharing it this morning, but this was really neat. I got to Indonesia, and I had no money. I had spent my $15 in Korea on my way to Indonesia because I was hungry. You know, you got to eat. Cool, so I get there. I walk up to the orphanage where I'm living and helping and discipling the young dudes, teaching them how to surf and skateboard. Suffering for the Lord in Bali. I was one of those now. But the house mom, Ibu Tina, she says one day, hey, Richard, we need $75 to go cover this hospital bill because one of the girls had to go to the hospital. I said, sure, no problem. And I grab my wallet. I put it in my board shorts. And I just start walking to the ATM. And I'm worshiping the Lord the whole time because I know there's absolutely nothing in my ATM. Oh, Lord, you're good. You got it. She asked me. Okay, that means you'll provide. I got nothing, but you got everything. You're the king. I'm just your kid. And I get to the ATM, I pull my card out, and I put it in the machine, and I push in, this is the equivalent of $75. And then there's a $5 ATM surcharge, because it's an overseas ATM. All right, push. Money came out. What? Grab the money, grab the card, put it in the wallet, scurry back to the orphanage. Here, I got to go to the, there's a KFC down the road, and they had internet. KFCs are all over Asia. Yeah, just if you didn't know. And in the, they have like, they don't have the biscuits, they have rice. So you get your chicken and a little mound of rice. But that KFC had donuts and lattes and cappuccinos. It was a cool KFC. And AC, because it's 100 million degrees. So I grab my laptop, and I say, I'll be back. Here's your money. And I go to the KFC for Wi-Fi, and I open it up, and there was a random cash deposit in my bank account. I got no record of this. I don't know who did this. Mom, did you put cash in my bank? Nope. Did Dad? Nope. Did Sister? I don't think so. She didn't even have your bank info. What? Where did that come from? Wow. All right. I like how this is going, Lord. Well, then that just continued to happen, and it didn't stop. Lord, I'd like to go back for some weddings. Drew, a mutual friend of Kyle and I's, I'd like to go back for these weddings. They're in April. But it's up to you. I got nothing, but you got everything. If you want me to go, you got to provide $1,500. And then I get a random deposit of $1,534. What the heck? Lord, awesome. I'm going home for a moment. And I got back. And, you know, I got back. I had no phone. I had no car. I had no place to stay. I had nothing. But I got a big old Jesus. So then I have everything, right? Yeah. And so I get picked up by somebody who drops me off from LAX to San Diego. They drop me off in North County, San Diego. I don't have a phone. I use my computer. I open it up. I Skype my friend Joseph. Bro Joe. He's like, whoa, what's up? He's like, how you doing? I said, good. I'm in Carlsbad. He said, oh, you want me to pick you up? He said, oh, thanks. So he brings me to a Monday night group to just go worship. And I walk in there, and there's a guy that I met once before, months before. That's kind of fun to say, once before, months before. I only met him once, and it was just in passing. That guy randomly shows up to this Monday night thing with a cash, or envelope full of cash. And he says, you're here? I thought you were in Indonesia. I said, yeah, I was. I just got back right now. He says, wow, that's crazy. God put it on my heart to save money for you, and I didn't know how to get it to you, but I knew you were friends with this guy. And I knew he was going to be here. And so I just came here to give it to him to send to you. But here, now that you're here, here's an envelope of money. Holy moly. Thank you, Lord. And then there's a homeless guy that we were doing ministry. I was, before I spilled the coffee on my nice pants moment from earlier, I didn't know what to do. So I thought, well, let's just share Jesus with the homeless guys. Let's have lunch and breakfast with these dudes. So one of those guys gave his life to Jesus. Now he's at that Monday night group, totally transformed. he sees me come in. He's like, whoa, what are you doing? I'm like, Willie, I'm good to see you. And he said, is there anything you need? Do you need a phone? Yeah. He said, I have an extra phone and a charger here. What the heck? Who carries an extra phone and charger in their pocket when they're going places? Okay. And then another friend, Austin, he says, dude, where are you staying? I said, I don't know. I had no plans, but I have a big Jesus. And he says, hey, some of the guys that we were sharing the gospel with, these homeless dudes, are not homeless anymore. We pooled our money and we have a place by the beach in Oceanside. And we're all living there in community. You want to come stay with us? Yeah. That sounds great. Yeah, come stay for free. Huh? Cool. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And so I'm talking to family the next day. And they're all excited. Hey, you come back. Okay, come visit. Tell us some stories. And my uncle says, hey, what are you driving? I said, I don't know. He said, oh, there's a Harley in my shop. Go grab it. Use it. Huh? All right. So I was the missionary on the Harley with my holy leathers. And I just cruising around, just sharing of his goodness on the bike that he provided with the phone that he gave me and the money in the envelope to pay for the phone and all the food I needed. And then in May, I did the wedding. There's a transition from April to May. And I told the guys at the house, I said, I'm going to help you pay for rent because I want to. I didn't have 200. They're like, yeah, 200 bucks. Okay. I don't have 200 bucks. I got like 20 bucks. But don't worry. So now it's a Sunday. It's the last day of April, 2011. Sunday. I go to this big church. I got a lot of friends there, and those friends have money. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, which friend can I ask to borrow 200 bucks so I can pay rent tomorrow to these guys? Because I told them I would. Who can I ask? And I'm standing in the back of the church worshiping, but also like, oh, maybe I'll ask him. Nah. Maybe I'll ask her. Nah. Maybe I'll ask. And I'm thinking about this, and the Lord spoke, and he said, don't ask men. Ask me. Yes. And I said, all right, Papa. I need 200 bucks for tomorrow. And then after church, just like any good Christian in Southern California, you go to In-N-Out for dinner. And so I went and I had myself a steak between two buns with a friend of ours, a friend of mine who's still a friend who's coming up this next week. And we're talking and I'm telling him the goodness of the Lord. And man, this kid was possessed by a demon and we just prayed and worshiped and the demon left and the kid got up and said, praise the Lord. And all these cool things were happening and telling him about the power of God that provided and how he meets every needs and how we're going to do this ice cream party for the kids. And the house mom says, can you buy ice cream? I say, sure, I don't have any money. And I go and sure enough, I do have money all of a sudden and I buy ice cream for the kids because God cares about ice cream and kids. And I'm sharing the stories with these guys at In-N-Out having a good spiritual time. And then one of the guys says, hey, come to my car when we're done. All right, cool. I walk out there. He says, as you're sharing those stories, God put this on my heart. And he just pulls out a checkbook and writes me a check for $1,500. Here you go. Oh, man, let me give you a 15-minute hug now. That's amazing. And so he just blessed me. But that happened, and it didn't stop. I needed to go back overseas now because the stories I shared spread, and some of the people in different missions groups were saying, hey, can you liaison for us? Can you lead a team for us over in Indonesia? Sure. Sounds great. I forgot this really important part that was really cool. Again, I wasn't planning on sharing it, but thank you, Lord, that you are. So, 1 Corinthians. This is so sweet. I have to share it. Now, some of you may think that guy is nuts, and I agree with you. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Though I speak with tongues of men or tongues of angels, notice a differentiation. There is a natural linguistic tongue, and then there is a spiritual tongue. But if I do it without love, I'm just a dork. While I'm at that orphanage, we have a girl from Huntington Beach. She's over there helping and serving too. She's a photographer. The house mom says, can you take pictures of the kids for their new school photos? Sure. And so she does her, really beautiful photos for the kids' school pictures. because we've got some great kids. And then afterwards, the house mom says, can you take her to go get, take her to the, what do they call it, a salon. Can you take her to the salon and you guys both go get an hour massage? Just go rest. Like, oh, thanks. That's awesome. And she said, go to this place. Because you can go to the wrong massage places. You don't want to go there. Doesn't lead to anything good. But it was a good place. So she sent us there. So I take this girl, Ashley, to this place. We walk in and it turns out it's a bunch of blind people that were trained to do massage so they could have an income and provide for their lives. Some nice man just brought in the blind and taught them how to do massage. And boy, they're great at massage. They don't see, they can just feel, and they know where the knots are. It was awesome. It was an hour and a half for $9. The inflation was really high over there. So we're both there for an hour and a half. She's got the blind lady. I've got a blind guy. And I'm talking to this guy in my very minimal Indonesian because I just started learning, and I had this theory. Learn 10 words a day, and at the end of the month, you'll have 300 words. And then learn 10 more, and you'll have 600 words. And follow that, and you'll just learn the language. So I started learning the language so I could be like lightly conversational, but then they would just, you know, say a sentence and I'd get lost. Huh? What? Slow down. Palan, palan, slow down. So this guy's talking to me. I'm sharing a little bit. And I'm like, Lord, he's blind. You can heal him. I'm like, you know, the overzealous kid, the missionary kid. Hang on. You know, the hat backwards. Oh, Lord, you can do it. Cool. We'll see it happen. And so I'm like, I'm praying. Oh, Lord, you can do this. Give me the anointing right now. And I open my mouth to start talking to this guy. I'm overflowing and I want to share Jesus with him and the power of God with him. And all of a sudden, I start speaking fluent Indonesian and understanding fluent Indonesian. I didn't speak fluent Indonesian and I did not understand fluent Indonesian, but it happened. Holy moly. And there's only a curtain between me and this girl, Ashley. So she's hearing this whole hour and a half conversation. And it was like, it just got more and more exciting as the power of God came out more and more and more. And the guy just, towards the end of it, he says, I know a place I'm going to go. I want to hear more of this. There's a church I want to go to now. And he didn't get his sight back, but the guy says, but God has opened my heart. Jesus has opened my heart. Like, oh, that's better than your eyes, I guess. That's salvation, not vision. And you got the salvation, you'll get the vision. Okay, that'll follow. But the guy, like, didn't melt and like weep under the presence of the Lord. He got lifted up in the presence of the Lord. And so afterwards, we're like on our tiptoes, like, yeah, this is cool. Wow. And we're giving each other these hugs, like, oh my gosh. Yes, Lord. And then we leave. And Ashley looks over at me. She's like, I didn't know you could speak fluent Indonesian. And I said, I can't. That was the Lord. It just came out. Bloop. Wow. And then that moment, it changed. I didn't speak fluent Indonesian anymore, but now I had an understanding. So then I continued to learn that linguistical language, but there was a grace upon it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
He gave me the gift for that moment, for his glory, for that man to come to know him. And it was so awesome. Wow. Moral of the story, go to blind massage parlors and share Jesus. It's a tough ministry, but someone's got to do it. So in this adventure with Jesus, he says go, and then you say okay. Well, he provided, and I've shared this before, and I'll share it again, because it's just such a cool testimony of his goodness, that nothing's impossible with him. That you can sit and journal. Lord, oh, that's funny. I opened to that journal page. That was for my kids, I guess. Lord, I need to leave for Indonesia in 3 days. I don't have a ticket, but you're good. You have everything under control. And then within minutes of expressing my heart in my journal, I get a phone call. Hey, did you buy your ticket to Bali yet? No, not yet. Hey, I want to buy it for you. Huh? Okay. Wow. That was really good timing. I just wrote about it and prayed about it. I surrendered it, and then you did it. That's cool. Well, the Lord provided over 350 flights like that without ever asking for a single one. Never asking for a single one. It was not like, hey, I'm going back to do some missionary work. I'm really poor. Can you help me get there? You know, it was never that. It was just, you live in the fearlessness and the boldness of His Spirit, that nothing is impossible with Him. He'll do it all. Nothing's impossible. He'll do it all. So in the journeys, it just happened and happened and happened. And then this was what 1 year looked like, where you know where San Diego, California is. Forgive me, I did this on my phone, and I've got big fingers. I can't make it fine. So Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of man plans his steps, and the Lord directs his path, right?
Yeah.
So I make a plan. Lord, I'm going to these places. Okay. Can you provide the flights? Okay. If He puts it on your heart, He'll fulfill it. Because my God supplies all of our needs by the riches of His glory in Jesus. So I left from San Diego and I went down to Nicaragua. And that's where the story came from a couple weeks back of helping to rescue kids from trafficking. And that was a very gnarly experience. And I was looking through my emails of that last night and just seeing the weight of the email, and the moment wrecked me again last night of, oh. And I sent out these updates and emails to friends. Not everybody would reply. You get like, cool, thanks for sharing. Just quick little one-sentence things. But that one email is the one I had the most response on. From an email list of maybe 100 friends, almost every single one of them responded, because it was such a powerful, profound, and heartbreaking experience. After we did this ministry, and we got this dude arrested in Nicaragua, the American man, because of what he was doing, got him arrested, then we leave and go to El Salvador. Then from El Salvador to Peru. In Peru, when you land in Peru at 2 a.m., it's kind of dangerous. There are bad people in the world that don't know Jesus, and they want to do bad things, and they want the money in your wallet and everything else that you have. And I was warned, don't go to Miraflores at night. Well, that's where I was flying into. Oh, man, it's 2 a.m. And I was nervous because of that. And I actually got warned by somebody else in the airport. You have a driver? No, I'm getting a taxi. You be careful. Okay. I put on my prayer. You got me. I'm yours. And I was just there for a layover. It was like a long night and all day layover. And I'm looking outside. Oh, man, this is sketchy. Taxi comes, and the guy pulls up, and he's got worship music on in the taxi. Yeah, cool. And it's a song. I can't recall what song it was, but it's a song that we would all know by the melody. And it's in Spanish. But I'm just like now singing along in the back seat. And he says, you know, where are you going? And I respond in my broken Spanish. Take me to a place I can go to that's cheap by the beach. It's now, you know, it's 2 a.m. There's not a lot of places that are open. So he takes me to a spot, get in, cool. Everything was good. Thank you, Lord. Leave from there the following day down to Paraguay. Anybody heard of Paraguay? Yeah? You got a pair of apples, you got a pair of oranges, you got a Paraguay. And Paraguay's landlocked. So I went down, the plan was to go connect with an orphan ministry down there. Cool, got there, a lot of sweet kids, great staff. The girl is from San Diego, and she married a Paraguayan man, and they live there, and they help run this place with another group of people that are from San Diego. They have a pizza oven that was donated to them, big, nice pizza oven, like one of those Vulcan pizza ovens, but it's just sitting in a back room covered with dust and other just random stuff that was sitting there. And I said, hey, why is this not being used? We don't ever have money for that. Oh, we're going to the store right now. Let's go. And so we went and just bought all kinds of stuff, flour, pepperoni, cheese, tomato sauce. And we just did pizza nights kind of for the whole week for the kids. And it was rad. The kids learned how to make pizzas, and they were so excited. It actually opened up this idea of them now doing this for the community as a business to sustain them. And so we left them with some funds to keep doing that. And the pizzas were terrific. I mean, Paraguayan pizza, go figure. It was great. So that was the ministry of pizza. The Lord brought me there for pizza. And then we leave, or I leave, me and the Holy Spirit, my buddy. We leave, we go through, drive over in a bus to through the top of Argentina into Brazil to a place called Curitiba. Can you say Curitiba? Good. Know that name. The Spirit of God is moving down there so powerfully and profoundly. There is revival amongst the teenagers. I know, like that's like the hardest reach group in the world. The hardest to reach group. The Lord is doing a beautiful work. My friend's a youth pastor. His youth group is 1,500 kids. Because it's like it just keeps multiplying because kids are getting encounters in Curitiba. Yeah, Curitiba. It's in a four-square church in Curitiba. And I show up and he says, he picks me up from the bus station, give each other big hugs. We met in Malaysia a year before, and it was just a kindred spirit connection. And he says, hey, the Lord put it on our hearts, him and his wife. You're preaching tonight. Well, what? What? I wasn't planning on that at all. Yeah, it's only 1,500 kids, and then there's going to be some others there too. Holy smokes, 1,500 youth? All right, Lord, if the opportunity was provided, that means you'll provide the words to say, because I don't know what to share. I didn't prepare for a week and have a book of sermons to give. Whatever, you do it, Lord. And so we go and have a super salty lasagna dinner at a friend's house, and then we go to church. She apologized for all the salt. But we get to this church, and we get there, and they all start, like this group of the leadership there, they're praying over me in tongues until it's time to go up. Just, whoa. And I don't speak Portuguese very well or at all. But there was this moment where the Holy Spirit dropped a bomb in that place. And it was every single person, including me and the worship team, were on our knees weeping because the presence of the Lord came into that place. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? I'm a nerd, Lord. I'm a sinner. I'm a goofball. But holy smokes, this is awesome what you're doing. And my buddy, Carlos, he's the youth pastor. And he's also, him and his wife lead the worship. They're very gifted. Very, very anointed. And they love the Lord and his presence. And he's like, he's weeping on stage. And he's like, I've never seen this happen before. And I had a translator, a sweet gal. And she's over here just wailing on the floor. And now I don't have a translator. And so whatever I was sharing, I don't know what I was sharing because it was a moment the Holy Spirit took over. And I don't know if I was speaking Portuguese or English. I just know that everybody was getting rocked. And so was I. And so was everybody else. Holy smokes. Now, I had to leave because I was meeting another ministry team over in, where were we meeting first? In Uganda. I was meeting a ministry team with some friends that wanted to join in Uganda. I had to go in a couple days. I just didn't have any money for a ticket, but whatever. I got a big old Jesus, and he never fails, because he supplies all of our needs by the riches of his glory. And so this moment happens, and then it's like, hey, you got to come and share at the pastor's meeting tomorrow. What? Look at me. I'm wearing cutoff jean shorts and a holy shirt with stains on it and flip-flops. I'm not the caliber of these guys in suits. But it was the Lord doing something. The Lord. Do not despise your youth. And you can still be young even when you're old. Because you can identify as young. I joke about it all the time. Sorry. Shouldn't. Touchy subject. So the next day I have to get ready to go. But Carlos is like, wow, people just started coming up. And he's, this is a lot of money. Wow, this is amazing. I've never seen these kids do this before. Wow. And I'm like crying. Whoa. Lord, our plan was to go to Uganda and start a soccer league and buy jerseys and a trophy and do a soccer tournament so we could share the gospel. I didn't have any money to do that, but you do. Wow. Thank you. And so he provided this, and I leave the next day or the day after that, Monday, from Sao Paulo. It's a nasally Sao. St. Paul. His influence. He got a couple cities named after him. So I leave Sao Paulo and fly through Istanbul, where I get another layover, and I meet this Arabic guy, and he wants my money. And I meet him at a foot washing station. Foot washing stations are common in Muslim countries because you cannot go into a mosque with dirty feet. You got to clean them. But I was hot and sweaty, and I just wanted to wash my feet. I'm like, oh, there's a foot fountain. You know, I took off my Nikes and just got my feet wet, refreshed myself. And then this Muslim guy starts just kind of being irritating. But he spoke English, but he was irritating, and he wanted me to give him money. I'm not going to give you money. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I say, do you know Isa? No. You read the Injil of Isa? No. Do you know that the Quran talks about the Injil of Isa, the Gospel of Jesus? Yes. And it was this moment where this Muslim dude that wanted my money got to hear about Jesus. The Lord brought me there to wash my feet on a back alley on a side street where a Muslim guy I did meet encountered Jesus, and him he did greet. So that was like, okay, that's why you brought me here. And then I got it back on the plane, and sure enough, I'm in Uganda. Now we've got money to buy jerseys and a trophy. So that was the plan. With this ministry team, we wanted to do a big event to bring together two villages. Village A, Village B. Village A thinks Village A is better. Village B thinks Village B is better. But how can we bridge the gap? Because we just built a school there the year before in Village A, because the land was better in Village A. But we wanted Village B kids to come to our Christian school to hear Jesus. So let's just start a soccer tournament between the two villages. And we got them all jerseys. They were green jerseys and they were yellow jerseys. And then a couple of my gringo buddies, actually one of my gringo buddies, Mike, he played soccer, and so he wanted to jump in on the teams. Holy smokes, those guys can kick the ball, but they don't have any grid of teamwork. Everybody just wants the ball themselves to run it from goalie to goalie. And so they're all fighting, even though they're on the same team, to get the ball, because they want the ball to kick it into the goal. You get my drift? No teamwork, but boy, it was funny. I'm on the sidelines, and I got a megaphone, and I'm with all the wives and mamas and grandmas, and all the guys are out there playing, and it is so fun. It is really lively. All the women over here for Team A, when they would score a goal, I think the score was like 50-50 because there were so many goals because the goalies didn't know how to stop the ball. But the women over here, yeah, when their men would do something, and then the women on Team B, yeah. Wow, this is really exciting. It's electric. And so at the end, I forget which one, A or B. I'm sparing the names of the villages, Chito and Chisoba. But one of the villages won, so we had this big trophy, like a trophy cup we bought. And we give it to them, and they're all just so elated. But now the community's brought together. And so now on the megaphone, do you know how this happened? I need to share with you where these jerseys came from. I need to share with you where that trophy came from. This was God's faithfulness because he wanted you guys to be blessed. And it was really cool because it wasn't about us and our money and our things that we can give to them. It was about God's goodness of what God wanted to give to them and sow into them. So God did. He sowed into them. He showed up. And a lot of people became buddies. And a lot of their kids came to our school. So the school doubled in size. It went from 300 to 600. I'm just giving you round numbers. And that's awesome. And the school is a Christian school. The biggest in the area. With the best marks in the entire county. The kids get the best grades. Because there's parents that can't pay the kids' school fees. The school fees go to pay the teacher's salary. We built homes for the teachers. So they had a place to stay. And the school fees covered their salaries. The parents that didn't have money to pay for the school fees, they had crops, and so they'd bring in crops, and they'd contribute to the kids getting meals. So the kids would get two meals a day, which was unusual. Normally, all they would get was a piece of sugar cane on the way to school and a glass of milk on their way home or when they got home. So they got these two meals, and it was sweet. And so the dynamic is still functioning, and it's really healthy, really wonderful, and the school is still flourishing. Now, I'm not going to have time to go through the rest of that, but God did what he does. He shows up, and in his faithfulness, He takes us places. He does miracles. He's a miracle-working, wonder-working God. And he's always faithful. He's the God that supplies all of our needs by the riches of his glory. So when he gives us a commission and a command that says, go into all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. When he says that, and that we're empowered by his Spirit to go and do this, when he says that, he means it. And we never have to worry about how we'll do it. Because he's the one that can make a way, a river in a desert. He is faithful. He can provide a flight when you're driving to the airport without one. He can provide you a steak dinner when you've got no money. He can give you a beautiful hotel to stay in when you're tired and have nothing. He can put you before kings and leaders of countries with nothing. As a fool, I had one button shirt in Kenya and my cut-off jean shorts that were faded and tattered. I had one button shirt, and before church, a kid spit up on it. Oh. And if you've ever been to these parts of Africa, they are very formal. They'll be plowing their field in a suit. Because for them, when you dress nice, you appear smart. So they'll be plowing in a suit. And here I am, just a goofball in ripped shorts, and now I'm wearing just a ripped t-shirt too. Because when you have a bunch of people hand washing your clothes, you can get rips. In our weakness, he is strong. In our imperfection, he shows up perfect. In our foolishness, he shows up wise and wonderful, and he never fails. When we show up, then he uses us. And that's why he says, go. It's for us to show up. So when you hear the stories of the disciples, the apostles, some stayed local and some went far. Don't feel like you have this unnecessary pressure to go overseas and do ministry unless the Lord calls you. You can do it right here. The Lord brings the nations to Mammoth Mountain. In fact, they employ people from all over. There's a girl that's from, what's the country called? Bulgaria, that works at the Tiger Bar in June Lake. Every time I go in there, I've been learning Bulgarian to bless her. I'll order a sandwich or burger if I'm over there working in the afternoon. And then she remembers me because of these exchanges in Bulgarian now. Blagodaria, that's how you say thank you in Bulgarian. But for her, it's like, wow, you took the time to learn that. And so she's getting blessed because she's feeling valued, that somebody cares about her. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We have the nations all around us. So don't be afraid. Tell people about him. He's the coolest king. In fact, that guy S.M. Lockridge spoke. He said, he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He's a pathway to peace and he's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway to holiness. That's my king. He's a sinner's savior. That's my king. You know what I'm saying? So, be encouraged. Go tell people about him. Go tell it on the mountain. Amen. Come on. Oh, so, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, that what's impossible with man is not impossible with you. Thank you, Lord, that you can do all things. Nothing is impossible. Thank you, Lord, that you are the provider, just like Don's mom. How you meet our needs because you're so good. By the riches of your glory, you're so good. We know that we shall lack nothing. In fact, David wrote in Psalm 34, he says, the young lion, they will lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. And he says, David writes in Psalm 84:11, our God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and he gives glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so, Lord, would you bless us with the courage and the confidence and the faith to walk in that we lack nothing, that we have everything that we need, because our Father's the King who not only owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but also owns all the hills underneath the cattle's feet, right? He owns it all the gold, all the silver, all the treasure of the world. It's all his, but he cares more about us than that stuff. And how much more will he freely give us all what we need? He gave us his son. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm praying? How should he, not withholding his son, freely give us all things that we need? For he's given us all things we need pertaining to life and godliness. So go out as a victor, go out as a king and a queen, go out beloved and know that you have everything that you need at your disposal because you have a best friend named Jesus. So Lord, thank you. We bless your name. Amen.